It's 2:46. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. My guest in this portion of the program is Tiffany Threadgold. She's an industrial designer and entrepreneur. She's a woman with a mission: give new life to stuff, in particular, all that stuff that we discard. That's also the mission of her company, ReplayGround. The company's website is www.replayground.com. Her work and company have been featured in a number of publications. Recently, Tiffany and ReplayGround were one of the subjects of the current section of the New York Times, where readers learned that she presented her master's thesis in fine arts at the Pratt Institute in Brooklyn, wearing an outfit fashioned from old umbrellas. Tiffany Threadgold, welcome to the program. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Celeste. Thank you.
Yeah. Would you describe that outfit for us that you wore to Pratt to give your master's thesis?
Sure. Well, actually, it's funny. I had two skirts that I made. For the presentation itself, the skirt was a colorful version. I used blue, red, and orange paneled umbrella. And so it was a little bit shorter. It was just about knee length. So that was kind of the fun day version. And then at night, we had a gallery reception where we showed, like, all the projects we created from our thesis. And that was more the evening version. That was a longer black umbrella that I used. And so it was a little fun that I got to wear different umbrellas throughout the day.
Yeah. Now, your website features a number of items made from umbrellas. There's a pouch and an umbrella skirt.
There. Right. Yeah. The umbrella skirt was what I created. And then part of my mission is to teach others how to make things. So things that don't make sense as products, because it's pretty labor intensive to create an umbrella skirt, I like to encourage other people to create them. So I create instructions and show people step by step how to make things from scrap materials.
Yeah. Now, of all the things that you've come up with, do you have a favorite?
Probably one of my favorites is the Refocus Room Divider, and a big part of that is because it involves so many people and it involves such a large amount of scrap material. That is a room divider made out of about 1,200 film canisters. And at the time I created that was back in 2001 when I was doing my thesis. It was back when film was more prominent, and, you know, it's already becoming a relic in today's day and age that people aren't taking, everybody's taking digital pictures now. But it all involved, like, it took me about 3 months to collect enough film canisters, and I was living in New York City, and I just went around to the main film district and just would go there week after week and just have them collect them for me. And after I was finished, I brought pictures of the room divider to all the people who had been so instrumental in collecting the film canisters, and they were all so excited because they had no idea what I was making out of this. They just knew that I would come in week after week and collect film canisters.
Yeah. So how did you put it together?
Well, I put it together with elastic. So I drilled 4 holes in every container, and then the elastic was strung up and down, kind of like bricks, where they're offset every other row, so that the elastic tied it all together. And that also was really time consuming. So my last semester of my graduate program, I recruited a bunch of friends to help me assemble it. And that's the other part of the story, is that I would get people together at night, and we kind of had like an old-fashioned quilting bee of sorts, where we would weave. I had this method for weaving the elastic up and down every row, and I would buy everybody beer and pizza, and my friends were happy to help because they felt like they were contributing. And it's so fun when my friends come over to my apartment and see the room divider in use, and they have, you know, fond memories of it. And that's so much of what I'm trying to do with recycled materials is bring an awareness to people that, no, it doesn't have to be garbage. If you clean it and put it in a different light, it's something new again, and it's reused and repurposed. It just might not have the same function as its first life.
Yeah. Who are your customers?
Well, I do... a lot of the people who I work with are companies that are looking for design. Basically, anywhere from like small mom and pop shops buy our designs and sell them in retail stores. And I'm starting to work with a company called TerraCycle, who is creating items from scrap material for mass market. So it's a wide range.
Yeah,
so mass market like Walmart and Target, and I think that's really great and a really great sign of the times that Walmart and Target are interested in carrying items made from scrap materials.
Yeah, yeah. And the instruction manuals, are they out there in the wider world now too?
I wrote several recycling books, and those were carried at Target for a couple seasons. I think those, we're talking about republishing those in a different format. I don't think they're out there right now.
Yeah. What's a work day like at ReePlayground?
Oh, it's a lot of playing with scrap.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sounds
it's
like fun.
Just getting common materials is what we work with. We don't want to do like the one-off. We're not an art facility. It's a design place, and we're looking at manufacturing processes and ways to streamline scrap materials back into reuse. So I have several people that work with me, and basically we just get a big pile of scrap, and we put it on the table and start thinking of other ways to repurpose it. Like one of the things that I'm working on right now are chapstick tubes, because a lot of what we use, too, are manufacturing, like off-spec manufacturing items. And so we found a manufacturer that had, like, all these old chapstick tubes, and it's like, well, what do you do with them? Mm. And they're great packages, so we're trying to figure out, is it just reused for packaging something green, or can we put a whole collection of them together? Maybe they become a clock. You know, maybe each one becomes a spoke on a clock or something. So it's basically just playing with scrap.
How and when was it that you were inspired to give new life to the stuff we toss away?
Well, a lot of it was just from growing up. I didn't realize that other people weren't doing this. It was a way of life for me and my family. We did things like we composted. My parents have a huge garden, and so composting was just a natural thing. Like, it made more sense to put the scraps from our vegetables back into the garden. And then like old gum wrappers, I used to make.
Oh yeah.
Like the little gum wrapper bracelets.
Yeah.
So it's basically taking things that I did long ago and like old traditional crafting methods and kind of applying them to new materials today.
Yeah.
But one of the first projects that I ever did was, it was in college in my undergrad years. I had a microwave and it broke, and I just felt so bad throwing it out because it seemed so heavy and so durable still. It just didn't function as a microwave. So I had it in my room for a while. I was living with roommates, and we got a new microwave, but I had it sitting in my room, and I would always pass by, and I was like, there's got to be some other use for this. And I was thinking of padding the top and maybe making it into a little stool. But what I ended up doing was cleaning it out really well because it was a little disgusting. And then I put a shelf in the middle, and I turned it into a CD holder. And I still have it today, and it holds about 34 CDs. So there are two rows of CDs. And I turned it on its side so the front door opens down to the floor.
Yeah. Well, I would like to wrap up here by sharing an idea that I have from my family in the past, way back around the first Earth Day. And then I'd like you to share with us an idea or two for something we could make from something we'd otherwise throw away or put on the curb for the recycler. And with the holidays coming up and stuff, it's a great time to get kids involved in something like this. But anyway, back in my family, my Unky Leo made these wonderful critters he called canimals.
Mm-hmm.
And they were tin cans, and you crimped the bottom up to make it like kind of a mouth. Mm-hmm. And then you had a wire that you attached to the can, and at the end of the wire, a painted ping pong ball. And then then you put googly eyes on there and whatever kind of face thing you want going on there, and you've got yourself a canimal.
Oh, that's great. See, that's part of what I'm trying to do too is showing that garbage can have a life and have like it kind of like garbage has feelings too, like showing that there's a personality.
And you know, it was like make your own toy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now you share with us an idea or two from ReePlayground that we could do over the upcoming holidays with the family.
Well, one great thing that, especially with the holidays coming up, and one thing that I never use a new version of this, is wrapping paper. And it's something simple that you can just find colorful things that you have around your house that's large pieces of paper. Or if you have small gifts, you can use old magazine pages. For larger gifts, you can use maps. Maps will work really great for wrapping paper. You can use newspaper, like the comic section. And then you can also make your own gift bows, which are really fun. And I have a how-to on my website, on replayground.com, for how you can do that. And you just cut 8 strips, and you just fold them on top of each other, and you staple it in the center. And it makes a really cute bow, and it's really unique, and you're not buying something new at the store.
Mm. Tiffany, thanks so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Celeste.
Tiffany Threadgould. She's an industrial designer and entrepreneur. Her company is Replayground. The company's website, www.replayground.com.